a joke or not. But one of the things I do believe very deeply is that a church that laughs together is one that's actually quite healthy. And one of the things that you probably don't know, I mean, I don't talk about it very much. My grandparents had a place on the Colorado River, and the name of it was Laugh-A-Lot. I used to think that was really strange. And then when I got older, I really started to appreciate the fact that maybe we should laugh a lot. And so it's in that spirit that I give you these things that we think about Mother's Day, and I don't think it would be complete without some chuckles about kids. And so I'm going to kind of divide this up a bit. You're going to go, that's a lot of jokes. We got a lot of kids. And not all of them are the same. I have five kids. Not one of them is the same as another one. But I wouldn't trade any of them. About the time you think you got the mom thing down, though, your little darlings come up with the funniest, the most embarrassing or confusing things. So here they are, you know, kids in church. Got a little three-year-old Reese. He says, "Our Father, who does art in heaven. Harold is his name." Amen. And then you might have a little boy like this. You might have a little girl like this too, but we're not talking about that. A little boy was overheard praying, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am." And then there's the one where they had a dedication, a baby dedication, and little Jason's little brother was dedicated, and Jason is sobbing all the way home in the backseat of the car, and his father asked him three times what was wrong, and finally, the little boy replied, "That preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, and I wanted to stay with you guys." There was a four-year-old, and he prayed, "Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." If you don't know the Lord's Prayer, that doesn't make any sense. But if you do, and if you're a kid once, you put the two together, we have trash baskets. A Sunday school teacher asked her children as they were on their way to their church service, "And why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" And one bright little girl said, "Because people are sleeping." There was a mother who was preparing pancakes for her sons. Kevin was 5 and Ryan is 3. And the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. I know I don't have to ask for a show of hands of moms who have had this experience. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake, and the mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. Aren't you glad? If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." And Kevin turns to his younger brother and says, "Ryan, you be Jesus." A wife invited some people over for dinner. And at the table, she turned to their 6-year-old daughter and said, "Would you mind saying the blessing tonight?" And the little girl said, "I wouldn't know what to say." "We'll just say what you hear mommy say," the wife said. So the daughter bowed her head and she said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" The question must be asked, what do your children really think about you moms? I mean, we can joke around. This is kind of where it gets pretty funny. Now, these are answers given by elementary school-aged children to the following questions. Guaranteed, there is no husband and no older child who would ever answer these this way. Why did God make mothers? Number one, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Number two, mostly to clean the house. And three, to help us out of there when we were getting born. You go, I'm not sure if any of that counts, but again, elementary school kids look at things very differently, sometimes very clearly. Other times you're like, scotch tape, really? How did God make mothers? Number one, he used dirt just like for the rest of us. Two, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. But I personally like number three. God made my mom just the same as he made me. He just used bigger parts. And then, of course, the ever-popular, what ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world. And one dab of mean. Two, they had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly used string, I think. That was pretty funny. Why did God give your mother, and not some other mom? And the answer one kid said is, we're related. Two, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. I think that's probably very true. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. And number three, they say she used to be nice. Again, don't shoot the messenger. He's doing the best he can. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Number one, his last name. Number two is even better. She had to know his background. Like, is he a crook? Does he get drunk on beer? Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world. My mom eats a lot. Like I said, no husband or older child would ever say this, but elementary kids. She got too old to do anything else with him. You know, why did your mom marry your dad? But the third one, I think sometimes is a little more true than it ought to be in certain cases. My grandma says mom didn't have her thinking cap on. I'm not sure I want to do that. Who's the boss at your house? Mom, you can tell by room inspection. She sees the stuff under the bed. I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad. What's the difference between moms and dads? One, moms work at work and work at home, and dads just get to work at work. Two, moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Three, dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you got to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's. What does your mom do in her spare time? Number one, mothers don't do spare time. Number two, to hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, this is one of those, on the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. And then you have to appreciate this little kid who doesn't understand the thing that English has these words that kind of sound like something else. Diet. You know, her hair. I dye it, maybe blue. And then if you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Number one, she has this weird thing about keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Number two, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. Now, Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy about some things to remember as he was pastoring. Timothy was a young man. 2 Timothy is what we're going to read here. And we're going to read in the first part of chapter 1, verse 1. And then we're just going to go down a little ways. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Now, when we read the Bible, you ever stop there? You say, no, I would never stop there. Yeah, you would, because we're human. And we tend to, like, I got the point. I can cut it off now. I don't have to keep going. Take a look. When I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Have you ever seen this before? And I am persuaded it is in you also. See, we tend to think so often that mom is kind of like an inconvenient thing, you know? Especially if you're a little kid. Some of these little kids, you can tell, their mother, to them, is just inconvenient. I would give almost anything to have 5 more minutes of talking with my mom, even if she was going to tell me to clean my room. You know what I'm saying? Paul is saying that the faith of the guy, the let no man despise your youth, Timothy, that's what he said in 1 Timothy, was learned from his grandmother and his mother. Timothy was hugely important in the early days of the church. He was a godly man, having great faith and being well spoken of by believers in several towns. And all this was true, even though his father was an unbeliever from a different culture. Some of you can relate to that last statement very personally. And some of you, it's like, yeah, I knew somebody like that. That's fine. But understand that grandma and mama had a tremendous impact on this young man. Now, God did provide another father, if you will. if you can consider the Apostle Paul, who never married, to be a father. But see, God can do miracles. He can make things happen, can't he? The impact of a godly mom on her children is a priceless thing. Moms and dads, but moms, you don't know the power you have in young lives. You don't appreciate it. You know that eye in the back of the head thing? You think you just got that to keep them from making a mess or getting hurt? No. God gave you to that little thing. And they know there's something really special about mom. They know. They learn about true faith and right attitudes and behavior. That'd be right behavior. And even how to admit when they're wrong. They learn that from, they can learn both from mom and dad, and they should. Okay, dads, we good with that? Awful lot of guys here for just Mother's Day. I don't want to just, you know, leave you guys out. But one of the things I really don't like is a lot of times when Father's Day comes along, we just blast the men, but we give all the gals a pass. And I'm trying to encourage both of us today. Hey, do you understand your impact in your kids' lives? Have you got any idea what happens if you believe in your kid and you help them to understand what true faith is? Sometimes faith is a thing, it's like, well, we sort of throw something out there, but you know, God doesn't have to, and we never ever engage in that thing of warring in prayer or laboring in prayer or hanging on to something. When I was a small boy, there was a guy, his name was Dan McKenna, and he was in a car wreck. He was the bank manager of the Bank of America in my town. And I was, I don't know, 8 years old. I'm in a VBS. That's Vacation Bible School. I don't know anything from anything. But I knew that there was something about this guy who was in a car wreck, and there was the possibility that his wife and his kids would not have a husband or a dad around anymore. So during this whole week of Vacation Bible School, we prayed every morning for Dan McKenna. You know what? God touched and healed that guy. He lived. Now, I won't tell you how long ago that was, but, you know, they did understand something about medicine, but not much. It was a long time ago. It wasn't medicine that saved him. It was the touch of the living God. And we got to labor in prayer. Moms, you can help your kids to labor in prayer about something. The impossible. Don't pick something like, well, we can pray and see if we have spaghetti tomorrow. You can do that. But when it comes to things like health, sometimes finances, sometimes relationships, you know, these things get kind of bigger for us, don't they? And you can be the point person in that little kid's life to say, you know what? We can trust God in this. But you can't do it unless you do it first in your life. Because they're going to go, how come you're telling me this, but you never do it? They'll tell you that. That's not fun. They learn about right attitudes and behavior. Sometimes in our culture, the idea of having to have a good attitude and good behavior when you've been done wrong is all turned around. Everything becomes, if you're a victim, you have the right to do whatever you want. And I'm sorry, that's not biblical. You say, well, why does that matter? You have to have a standard, guys. There has to be something that you build your life upon. There's nothing better than the Word of God. Sometimes we need to see the Word of God brought to life in the lives of our parents or those we know that are close. You may not have had Christian parents, but chances are you knew somebody who knew God. When we consider true faith, right attitudes, behavior, even how to admit when we're wrong, if we consider that in our relationship to the Lord, we absolutely know that it's an absolute essential to being a Christian. It's essential to being a Christian. You say, I don't like that business about admitting I'm wrong. Get over it. All of us are from time to time. Who can claim to be a true follower of Jesus Christ that doesn't admit to God or anybody that they're wrong at times? Isn't that kind of weird? But see, we think somehow God doesn't know. He already knows. Moms and dads, kids know too. Now, they're not like God. They haven't got omniscience. They don't know everything. But trust me, they know you because they are trained observers of their parents. It's built into us. We look at our parents to see what in the world's going on here. Sometimes, as parents, we know. We don't have the answer, do we? We don't know what to say. Sometimes we get the answer when we didn't expect it. Moms have a tremendous, incredible impact on young minds. And that's why the battle for the family is so crucial. See, sometimes we look at this like, what does it matter? I mean, go out and make money or whatever. But say what you will, God's plan, his best for the raising of children is a man and a woman as husband and wife becoming dad and mom to their children. We each bring something else to that relationship. This is not a thing of just trying to justify moms and dads. You ever watch TV? How many smart dads do you see? Not too many. Because it's considered funny that the guy's an idiot. Now, do we sometimes act like idiots? Yeah. Yeah, we do. But ladies, we all do. At any given time, we might find ourselves in the position of really not living as Christ would have us live, and we then have an idiocy about us, and it's not good, and it's not funny. Your friends may think it's funny. I remember a young couple that came to me, and this is kind of off the subject a little bit, I guess, but maybe not, because the guy was saying that his friend was constantly telling him how he needed to go out and get drunk or party or whatever away from his wife. His wife is telling this guy's wife the same thing. Hey, leave the old man alone. Let's go out and have some fun. Now, I got to tell you something. Number one, you make a promise when you get married that you're not going to do that stuff. But I've got something else to tell you that you might not understand and you might not know. Is the very best way to love your kids is to love their mom or their dad. If you love the mom or dad in the marriage, the kids have a type of confidence that they will never get anywhere else. If they think mom and dad might split, you'll never be able to put the confidence in the child. And that will affect them in every relationship they have, including their relationship with Jesus Christ. So moms have an incredible impact on young minds. So their dads. The job of raising children is incredibly difficult, and it's very challenging anyway. And some of you have really experienced the difficulty of raising children in a single-parent mode, maybe even as a child. And the Lord gives all parents, including single parents, grace and hope. Watch this.
Guide me in your truth and teach me. Don't forget your lunches.
I don't know where my shoes are.
It's like 50 days of not knowing. Love you. You love me too. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you. Hello? Hey. Your lunch. Oh, buddy. Can I get a protein box and a grande iced Americano, please? Double shot. Hey, guys. How was school?
Are you still in your pajamas?
This is math now. Honey, do you know him?
guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
Moms, he can give you help in many ways. You're not second-class citizens because of being a single parent. You're loved and accepted by the Lord. Oh, by the way, you may be listening to me right now and you're not a single parent. And you're going, why are you bothering to say this? It's because every one of us knows somebody like this. Every one of us knows a single parent. And every one of us knows kids who are being raised in a single parent home. It's really hard. I want to give you some perspective. You may not have thought of this, but I want you to think back. I have to think a long way back, okay? I was in eighth grade. Or excuse me, third grade. I was in third grade. And in our class, there was one boy, no girls, one boy, whose mom and dad were divorced. That was 1963. Since that time, it's become endemic. There's more and more and more and more breaking of marriage and more of people doing all sorts of things and marriage being a thing of, well, if it's convenient. But the problem is, see, once you can feel about marriage any way you want, I guess, but you still have kids. And you still have to raise them. And so if you're in the position of being a single parent, it's one of the toughest things you could have. Now, is it the best way? No, it's not. That's why, you know, God wanted a mom and a dad with a kid. Because, trust me, you need the break once in a while, if nothing else. And you have a different way of dealing with people. But if you're a single parent, you need to know that you are loved and accepted by the Lord and by your Christian brothers and sisters, and that's where we all come in, right? Because sometimes it's so easy to pass judgment. Sometimes it's so easy to say, you know, well, if they just raised their kids right, that wouldn't happen. I got news for you. Kids can make any choice they want. And they don't always turn out exactly like what you thought they might. And that can take many forms, acceptable and non-acceptable. Our society is tremendously impacted by those for whom the word single and parent are somehow placed in that order of priority. Being single with the associated living for themselves is more important to them than being the parent. This is not the sort of thing I'm trying to encourage us to do. And I don't want you to encourage those that you know. You already know that I see authority as a flow. It isn't something you just gather to yourself. In our world today, we hear about people who have authority and they gather it to themselves and it becomes something that explodes their lives. We've seen that in the Me Too movement. We've seen it in law enforcement. We've seen it in all sorts of things. But it isn't authority itself that's the problem. It's the fact that we're trying to hang on to it. If you let it flow through you, it operates exactly as it's supposed to. All true authority comes from the Lord. I'm sure you've heard Gary. You know, if the Lord can get it through you, he can get it to you. Am I getting that right, Gary? See, finances are the same thing, and authority is the same thing. Did you know your spiritual life is the same thing? And I've talked about this before, how the Lord fills you like a fountain, you know, and the Holy Spirit is filling you. And then what flows out of that is what goes to your marriage. And what flows out of that is what goes to your children. And what flows out of that goes into everything else. But we tend to turn it around and we want to make sure we have our identity as being perhaps single. Or identity is we're smart. Or our identity is your identity as a Christian should be I'm in Christ. That identity that he gives us is the very most important thing we could have. It's not your education. It's not your job. It's not how much money you make or don't make. It's not about anything else that's happened to you. It's about who are you in him. Now, the attitude and value system of being single and parent being kind of down the road a ways is destroying young lives. Now, here's the thing. You'll hear this over and over again. Well, it's actually better for the kids that. And you'll hear this thing. It's like, well, it's better for the kids if, you know, sometimes it's about divorce. Sometimes it's about something else. And sometimes, as we know, we're adults, right? Most of us, very few kids in the room. A lot of us have been married. Some of us have been divorced. There's more than one reason why you get divorced. It's not always a selfish reason. Sometimes it's one of those things you would rather take a beating than let it happen, but you can't help it. Why? Because you can't determine what the other person does. Getting married is one of the greatest examples of faith you can ever find, because you have to trust in God and another person. The other person is human. That's why you want to marry a person who loves Jesus first, because he keeps them on the track. If they go off the track, things are bad. But we oftentimes look at problems and we say, well, it'd be better for the kids. I got news. Kids never recover. Did you know they have a syndrome, the adult children of divorce? Did you know that? They don't have a meeting or anything, but it impacts them through the rest of their lives. And we look at it and go, well, not so much. Really, they get better. No, they don't. They don't. Well, their mom, their dad was really bad. Yeah? Happens sometimes. Sometimes there's nothing else you can do, but I don't think it's as often as what we tend to think it is. So that attitude, that value system destroys those young lives, both in their childhood days and when they grow up to live out what they've observed. And this is one of those things. You've all heard, of course, that abusers, those that are abused become abusers. You've all heard that. That certainly can be true. But I got news for you. If someone is raised up as the child of a marriage where it's all selfish, I don't think you have to stretch too far to guess what kind of marriage they will have. And if they don't have that kind of marriage, and you were selfish in your marriage, they'll probably write you out of it, and you won't be a part of their lives. That's a very sad thing. Weird Mother's Day message, isn't it? You know, I had a pastor once, and in fact, I had him speak to one of the churches I pastored. And one of the things he did is there's a section of Scripture that talks about murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. And for some unknown reason, known only to God, he chose that for Mother's Day. And his wife just about wanted to kill him, you know. And I think anybody else listening probably did too. I'm not doing that, but it is kind of a strange message. But it's a strange time that we live in. I really want you to enjoy your chocolate-dipped strawberries. That's so awesome. They're fresh and good. I mean, I'm holding the boxes and they're cold. These are not like made of plastic or bought from the store. These are made, handmade, just for you. Did you know that you're handpicked for your kids? One day, and Lori reminded me about this morning. It's not in my notes, but I'll share it with you anyway. At one point, we were raising chickens. Anybody here ever raised chickens? Oh, man. Chickens are an exciting thing. My daughter got a little too close to a chicken. I don't know if she wanted to kiss it or what she was going to do, but the chicken saw her eyeball. Watch out. Chickens like shiny things that move. They think it's a bug. So that chicken pecked her right in the eye. Fortunately, causing no damage. But my daughter was not impressed. Let me just put it that way. So we had gotten some kids over time, and we'd had a child who was more special needs, and then we had another child. You go, oh my gosh, that's what my wife was saying. And she is worried. We went out, and about this point, her loving husband, that would be me, decides that what this family needs is some baby chicks. So I go down to the feed store, and I buy some baby chicks. And unless you want to do the whole incubator thing and raise them, this is how you get baby chicks. It's a lot easier. And so I get these baby chicks, bring them home, and you know, we have to watch them, take care of them. So now roll the clock forward. Here we are. We've got, you know, a special needs child. We've got another child after that. And a mother hen from this bunch of chicks has a whole clutch of eggs, a whole nest full. Has about 8 little chicks. And the chicks are down on the floor because that's where they hang out. And the mother's up in the nest box. And my wife is worried because the mom is not taking care of the babies. And she is freaking out. She's getting really concerned about this. I said, honey, God puts it into the hen how to take care of the babies. That hen is the perfect mom for those babies. And I turned to her, and she said, you know, the Lord spoke to you that time. I didn't remember it, so she told me. So I'm going to tell you that sometimes the Lord speaks through me, and I didn't know it. I turned to her and said, yeah, just like you're the perfect mom for these kids. And all of a sudden, she could relax a little bit. So if you're a mom, if God can make chickens raise chickens right, he can help you to raise your kids right, okay? That's just a good thing. That's a word from the Lord, by the way. So we want to look at the plan that God had in mind for parents. Now, it's a plan that God had in mind on, it's based on these priorities, Ephesians 5:1. Now, of course, if you've been through my premarital classes, you know, you get to read Ephesians 5 times, the whole book, the whole letter. You go, wow, that sounds terrible. No, it's really not that long. But if you really get what it says, you'll have a much better marriage. You might even know how to raise kids. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. As who? Dear children. See, sometimes we want to imitate God as adults. And we don't get it. You know, we got to make him proud of us. We got to do this. No. You have to be like kids, like little kids. Now, have you ever known a group of humans that are less selfless than children and yet less helpless? No, they're not there. That's why when you look at adults, they are not selfless either, but they think they can take care of their own stuff. Kids don't labor under that. So be imitators of God as dear children. It might be a good idea to leave the selfish stuff away. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us, given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walk as what of light? Children of light. Have you ever seen this before? Verse 9, we'll move ahead here. I know I don't usually do that, but you know, you'll be relieved. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. What is acceptable to the Lord? Because it's easy to be acceptable to us, isn't it? Well, you know, the kids would be better. What's acceptable to the Lord? What would he have us do? Sometimes it brings us up short. We have to apologize, admit we're wrong, and move on in a different direction than we would have done left our own selfish ways. So we have to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, some people say, I just don't know what God's will is. It says right here, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, that's an interesting little deal because, see, sometimes we like to take out of that that within marriage, hey, you know, submit. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. This is built, I like to say it's a spectrum, but of course I'm one of those electrical radio type guys. I like spectrums. I really like that. But you can look at it as a foundation if you want to. If you're more of a builder person, it's okay. It's a foundation. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Not being a people pleaser. Not trying to make them happy. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then it goes on to say, wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the Christ is subject to church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. And I love this because when I'm doing a wedding, I get to read this, of course. And, you know, you do want to stick with the scriptures, right? The answer is yes, yeah, okay. And you get to this part, and all the women, especially, I mean, there might be a few that aren't, but most of them are shooting daggers at me. talking about submission, horrible thing. And I say, well, you know, that all sounds like it's really old-fashioned stuff, but you have to kind of read the rest. So you go on to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Think about that. What did that look like? And gave himself for her. What did that look like? That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And I turn to the guy and say, you know what, guy? You're going to die, sucker. And all of a sudden, I'm not getting daggers anymore. The women are going, yeah. But I have news for you. It's easier to submit to someone who's going to lay their life down for you. That's the way it's supposed to be, by the way. You say, well, that's not real. It isn't. I wish somebody had told me that 40 years ago. It's very real. You're not living for yourself anymore, Jack. You're living for him. And you're living for your spouse. And then it moves on from there. 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Who knew? In our culture, obeying your parents is not taught as being right. It's taught as something that's wrong. But it's said here that it's right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and may live long on the earth. So I want to end with a question. What sort of children do you want, Mom? What sort of children do you want? Yeah, if you're a dad, you ask yourself that question too. What sort of children do you want, Dad? And I would guess it's probably the same sort of children that God wants you and every mom and every dad and every child to be. What is that? That's your homework. Your homework on Mother's Day? Yeah. But see, most of you are going to have some sort of get-together. You may not be able to. I can't get together with my mom. I'd love to. But see, that's a one-way trip. You understand? But I have kids coming over, grandkids coming over. I'm so glad of that. My wife is there. See, she's not my mama. You understand? She's my wife. But I get to watch her be mom, and I get to watch her be grandma. We call her Nini, in case you're wondering. Of course, then again, depending on which group I'm with, I'm either called grandpa or Papo. I think I like Papo better. But it is such a privilege and honor. It's just like I talked about Morgan. She calls me Dad. Do you know the level of trust it takes to do that? And in today's day and age, how often do you see that level of trust or honor? The really weird thing is, both of my daughters-in-law call me Dad. My daughter does too, but that's just to be expected. What else would she call me, right? We had some discussions about that. See, the type of child that you want is the same exact type of child that God wants you to be. That's the answer. You say, well, that was kind of a weird way to get there. You had a lot of jokes, some scriptures, and you kind of talked about marriage a little bit, and now you're kind of done. Yeah, that's right. Why would that be? Well, that could be homework too. It's really hard to kind of explain it, because if you didn't already get it, I already explained it. If you want to love your children, love their mom, love their dad. If you want them to be confident, give them the type of family that the marriage is not always on the line. If you want to be able to explain and bring faith into your children, live it. Mom and dad, live it. Don't talk about it, because talk is really cheap. Live it. Live it out. And don't just live it for your children. They can tell. That's the same thing as loving others so you can share Jesus with them. They know. They really get that. And they know that all you're looking for is a notch on your Bible. You don't care about them. And our kids see the same thing every day. And here's another thing to consider. They know other kids, and other kids know them, and they compare notes. Well, they don't do it the way we would. They just notice something about the way your mom and dad are versus the way my mom and dad are. They notice those things. We joke and actually use a descriptor of those in the law enforcement profession. We are trained observers. Let me tell you something. Nobody is as trained an observer as a child. They notice everything. So when we talk about having true relationship with Jesus Christ, and he really is the most important thing, trust me, not only does God know, but your kids know too. Lord God, we thank you that you are here today and that you have made us to fulfill the exact place in the lives of friends, parents, and children. And none of it's by accident. We don't have to worry about whether we're able to do it. You're the one that enables us. You're the one that empowers us. Make us to stand, Lord, even when it seems like we can't, even when it seems like the best thing in our own selfish estimation anyway would be that we just blow it off. Help us to hang on and to place the work into our marriage and into our family that we might receive back after many days that bread which is cast on those waters. If you're here today and you don't even know about God, you're not sure if God exists and you're not sure about any of that stuff,